Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
One of the end zone punt. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, the big man, Roman Oben with you, taking your calls at 201-939-4513. Also, your comments on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. Good afternoon, everybody. The Giants, unfortunately, Roman, with a very tough loss for a second consecutive weeks. And these are the ones that sting the most, because much like the game in San Francisco, they had a chance in this game. They had the lead in the fourth quarter, and they simply could not hold on and stop the Cowboys from driving down the field and getting that game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, John, and before we go into the X's and O's of the game and some of the intricacies about what led to the loss, I have to say that over the last few weeks, even in these losses, this team has showed improvements. It's just the totality of the improvements haven't enabled them to play winning football in the fourth quarter.
They're also trying hard. The effort has not gone anywhere, right?
Yeah, so, and I know, you know, watching the TV copy, Chris Collinsworth was saying that, you know, John Mara wants to see hope in terms of this team and you know, the fact that this team has a worse record at this point in the season than the team this time last year doesn't give you a lot of optimism. But in terms of the product and the what's being put on the field on Sundays, look, you saw Schwartz get in there at right tackle or for Pugh. You know, he fought hard. You know, some of the runs where you see they were going to start to open. The pass protection broke down a little bit, I think. But overall, and I said one of the keys to the game going into this thing was this team had to be in attack mode. You had to attack this team. You had to go after Dallas. You had to score fast, score early. You had to, you know, make them play like teams have to play perfect on the road to execute. Unfortunately, defensively, things broke down in the second half, and they didn't match some of the things offensively. But overall, I think this team still has a lot of fight, still has a lot of resiliency, and, you know, but the reality is you are what your record is, and the Giants are 3-8, not 8-3, and, you know, I guess mathematically out of contention for at least the NFC East division.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt about it, Roman. And before we get into the reasons for the loss, I want to touch on really a play that blew up the realm of social media and sports media in general last night. Have you seen a better catch than that Odell Beckham Jr. catch late in that game?
You know, funny, we were, before the show, we were talking to about when I was in San Diego when Antonio Cromartie, we played the Colts on a Sunday night. I think it was the 07 season. Antonio Cromartie catches a one-handed over Reggie Wayne. Literally the same exact catch. Catches it in the air, brings it back, but it was an interception. It wasn't a touchdown.
Right.
It was a defensive play.
No one cares about defensive play.
Yeah, exactly. Nah, offense is what sells tickets, what puts the fans in the seats. But now Odell Beckham, it was excellent. And the fact that he was a rookie doing that, and we all know what happened when Victor Cruz obviously got injured. Number 13 became the number one target. And another thing, it's no secret that he is a number one receiver.
And
there was always this
that
discussion about this team doesn't have a true number one, or Cruz would really be a good number two. And, you know, Randall's maybe like a 1A if he at his best, but Odell Beckham is a number one receiver. He yanks balls out of the air. And one thing I've always liked about Odell Beckham, besides the enormous, the great catch he made last night, is Odell Beckham is the kind of guy that proves that you don't have to be a 6'4", 220-pound receiver in terms of the new model of wide receiver in the NFL to be productive. He's got big hands, long arms. He yanks balls out of the air like rebounds.
Great hands.
And he's got speed, route running ability. I mean, he's got the tools in terms of, you know, being a great receiver in this league.
Yeah.
And from just a personality standpoint, if you saw any of the interviews, the TV interviews after the game, he was somber. He was sad. He said, it doesn't even matter. I don't care. That's a guy that wants to be a great player, not a guy that said, hey, I got my 10 for 146, so I'm good.
Well,
you know, my fantasy numbers are good. He's not that type of guy.
No, he's not. And I'll tell you one other thing. I was watching him in the locker room after he got a lot of treatment and took a shower, and he was trying to, frankly, get his clothes on to go get to the podium to do his post-game media interview. He could barely bend down. I mean, he got whacked on that play over the middle, and he was stiff, he was tight, he was not moving well, so he definitely played through some pain in the second half of that game. And you mentioned him being a number one receiver, Roman. Apparently the Cowboys didn't get that memo, because in the first half, they played a lot of single coverage on him.
Right.
He was targeted 8 times, had a catch on all 8 targets for 125 yards and 2 touchdowns. Then in the second half, obviously the Cowboys said, maybe we should start, you know, dedicating a safety to this guy.
Right.
He only had 2 catches in the second half. But Eli didn't miss him on the second half. In the second half on that deep play when he got a little pressure, that could have been an 87-yard touchdown catch. I think it was I think it was in the 13-yard line. Or maybe it was a 7. It was either 13 or 17. I don't remember.
80 plus.
Bottom line, it would have been a long touchdown.
Right.
And the Cowboys gave a little more attention to him. He had to miss. I think he missed 2 sets of downs. I think about 7 or 8 plays in that last drive after he hurt his back.
Right.
So, look, he's going to get more and more attention here, and I think eventually, Roman, you're going to see straight-up double teams on him as the season goes along.
And as you should, but from someone who's played in this offense, this West Coast offense, at the same time when the Dallas Kiffin and Rod Marinelli in this same defense as well, all these routes happen within 25 yards of the line of scrimmage, John, and when you have a number one guy that's going to get that coverage –
Hard to double those, right?
It's hard to double that guy, and he's still going to get his numbers. But Fells, Danelle, Reuben Randall, some catches to the backside of the backfield. You know, I make this reference to the West Coast offense where that's where a back is critical.
Yeah.
I mean, a back can have 60 catches in this offense. And you saw, I mean, I think Jennings had 8 for 68, if I'm not mistaken. So, but you can't have drops when those other guys are throwing the ball.
Yeah, Jennings, I think, hit 8 catches on 10 targets. His one drop, by the way, ended up being a costly one. He dropped that one pass on the first play of that final drive when the Giants tried to get down the field. And, well, bottom line is, Roman, as you said, the Giants lost the game. So let's break down here some of the things that led to that loss. And to me, the one disappointing thing about this game is the Giants outplayed Dallas in a lot of ways. You know, Dallas is one of the best teams in the league in time of possession. The Giants held the ball for 35 minutes.
That's
the Cowboys
insane.
Just for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
That is domination in time of possession. The Giants ran 21 more plays than the Cowboys did on offense. The Giants completed 70% on third down in terms of third down conversion. The Cowboys were just at 40%. I mean, the Giants outplayed Dallas in a lot of ways. But there was this has kind of been the story all year.
Right.
There were a couple plays here or there in the second half. You know, Eli Manning, he said as much in the post-game interviews with the media. I'm not breaking any news here that he made a bad pass to Preston Parker. He ammed a little bit. Parker did his best to try to bring it down with one hand, tipped his hand, went right to Barry Church, and the Giants had trouble recovering from that in the second half.
The irony of that interception.
He was wide open. Oh, man,
well,
was he open.
If he doesn't tip it, it doesn't get intercepted.
No, it's incomplete. Right.
Yeah, it's an incomplete
right.
pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just bad luck at its worst.
Yeah.
And we talk about this. I was going to mention this about Preston Parker. You know, sometimes bad things happen in spurts. There was a kickoff return that would have gone out of bounds had Preston Parker not decided to return. I think it would have returned like the 16. I mean, now they're getting the ball at the 40.
Yep.
You know, amongst other things. That was literally like right after that, right after the...
Trying to see if the Giants scored on that drive. I don't think they did, but let's see. That was a 27-yard return. I think that was in the fourth quarter, right?
Right.
I can check that out here. But look, and that was a play, and then conversely, and early in the game, Anciarolo had an opportunity to intercept the Tony Romo pass when he airmailed it to Jason Witten, and he couldn't come down with it. So it's those little plays like that add up. And with all the injuries on this team, Roman...
Right.
They've had trouble overcoming those plays. Like back in 11, they can overcome that Eli pick. They can overcome the defense, you know, not coming up with an interception. They had the chance because they had that, you know, Nixon Cruz and the big playability, the pass rushers forcing turnovers. This team with all the injuries and, you know, they've been banged up so much, they have not been able to overcome some of those mistakes. And you can't ask your quarterback to be perfect. You know, if you're throwing the ball 45 times, guess what? You're going to throw a pick. It's just the way the league goes.
Yeah, and you talk about overcoming the injuries. We'll never know what this team would be at this time of the season if it's Thurman out there, along with, you know, McBride, Prince Mukamura, obviously as a first choice in that injured list. John Beason, obviously offensively. Schwartz, first game back all year. I mean, he's missed 10 games. A lot of different scenarios in terms of overcoming some of that play. And Eli Manning. We all know this. He's played well enough to win. He's played well enough to be on a team that could be 8-2
now. No question.
He's played relatively mistake free. I gave him a mulligan last week on the 49ers game. That's not something you see every other week.
You can't erase five picks from the ledger, but if you take that game out of the equation this year, his touchdown-to-interception ratio is phenomenal.
Right.
It's 3-1.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, Roman, it's just a situation here where, and then on that last drive, you know, the Cowboys went down the field and the Giants tried to get pressure with four. I understand the strategy. I know we're probably getting a lot of calls asking, why didn't Perryfield blitz more? Well, do you want to know why Perryfield didn't blitz more? Go back to the play. I guess it was in the third quarter when they ran Cole Beasley, isolated one-on-one with Jaron Hosley on a little whip route to the middle of the field, went inside, went back out. Hosley lost him. Jameel McClain had vacated the middle of the field. Do you know why? He was blitzing the quarterback, did not get there.
All of a sudden,
Beasley beats one guy, turns it upfield, Bowman misses the tackle, turns into a 45-yard touchdown. So when you blitz, you put a secondary, which we've talked about all year, is really banged up. You put him at risk out there against a very talented wide receiver core.
Yeah, you're sending a fifth guy, a fifth blitzer, with six guys in coverage. And Dallas does such a great job. You've got Jason Witten, arguably one of the greatest tight ends of all time. He's a red zone killer. Giants killer number one. He's a red zone target.
And look what Gavin Escobar did in the last game they played.
Exactly. And when those things happen, that's when you have the unlikely heroes like a Gavin Escobar and like the touchdown yesterday that you just mentioned as well. And then you've got Dez Bryant.
Yeah, and Terrence Williams for that.
Who should demand double coverage downfield, at least a bracket safety over the top.
No question about it. And one other area I want to touch on before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513 and hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. I thought one very important part of this game came at the end of the first half. The Giants had a 21-0 lead. The Cowboys got the ball with 3:18 to play in the first half. They went 3-and-out. The Giants got the ball on their own 35-yard line with 2:17 to go. And that's when I thought the Giants' protection started to break down a little bit. Eli got sacked on a 2nd-and-8, lost a yard. George Selvey got that sack. Then two plays later, after a Rashad Jennings false start made it 3rd-and-14,
right.
Eli Manning got sacked by Jeremy Mincy. And I thought, and then frankly, then after Romo fumbles on the Cowboys' next possession, Eli gets hit again, and he gets called for intentional grounding. So in those two series, Eli got hit at least three times.
Right.
And I thought that kind of set the stage for him being a little bit more uncomfortable in the pocket in the second half. And that, you know what happens when you get hit as a quarterback? Your footwork gets screwy. You rush a little bit. And I think that kind of set the stage for a second half where the offense can only put up one touchdown.
You know, early in the game, up until that point, John, I was really encouraged to see that right side of the line, just how big and powerful they were.
Played well.
Schwartz and Jerry both are listed at 340 pounds.
Oh, they're big boys.
And we're getting close to holidays. That might be 350, 355. I don't know how lenient Coach Palmieri is on the weigh-ins.
Next Sunday, after Thanksgiving, they'll probably be around 360. Not yet.
And then you had a Snyder and Beatty on the other side, an athletic left side.
Yep.
I mean, that's a perfect offensive line that you want. Early in the game, they had a big mixture of runs, passes, kind of like that high rhythmic approach.
Right.
But later in the game, when these guys had to pass protect to win, and you had to pass protect to move the ball down the field against these Tampa 2 undersized defensive linemen that are faster, quicker, they run a lot of TEs, a lot of stunts.
Twists and stunts, which they had a lot of trouble with the last couple of weeks.
Most bigger offensive lines start to break down in that type of situation.
Is that fatigue?
It's part of it's fatigue.
Because remember, this Giants offense, we mentioned, was on the field for 35 minutes now. Jeff Schwartz had not played a full game worth of snaps yet this year. Adam Snyder had not played a full game worth of snaps this year. Talk to me from an offensive line perspective. If you're those guys, do you get tired, or is that not the equation?
It's not as much fatigue, but in terms of, and I pardon the Cinderella expression here, it's when the stagecoach turns into a pumpkin. When you're not run, pass, three-step drop, screen. I mean, when you're not mixing it up and getting, but when you're constantly setting and dropping back, some of those discrepancies that you saw in some of the prior games, Seattle game, I mean, go back to the Eagles game, some of those discrepancies will start to show up again. Rod Marinelli, who I know extremely well, was actually my neighbor in Tampa
when
I played for the Bucs, and Monty Kiffin. So I understand that system. They're going to pound, eventually find a crease, get a guy isolated, a guy that can be inside, get a guard that typically needs help, that always slides. Make sure you put a position and go inside. Give one of the D tackles a two-way go. I mean, that's what they do and break down offensive linemen that are bigger, that consistently have to pass rush. I mean, pass protector, excuse me.
By the way, our man Joe Kanye with a good quote here from Jeff Schwartz after the game last night, asked about how he feels physically. His answer, I don't know. I'll see how I feel tomorrow. I'm tired. The second half was tough, but I had to do it, so it's a good thing, I guess. So there you go.
Look, and being a guy, John, that's been in that rehab situation, I mean, I've been on PUP and came back in week 11 and had to play, and it's not fun. But one thing, when you're rehabbing an injury, you're put through more strains on your body. You know, not just the icing and the cold, all that, but you're actually put through more strain in your body to actually make it worse than playing. And sometimes playing becomes easier. You got to figure out in the practice.
Interesting.
You're on your feet.
I've never heard that before.
You're on your feet a lot. I mean, you don't sit down in practice. Right. You don't go 7-8 plays, sit down on the bench, get water, watch the defense, go back there, sit down. You don't get a day and a half, 2 days of rest before. You're rehab, pushing it every single day, doing more. Then you get 2 days rest. Then it's the game. I don't know if he took a shot or I'm not sure, you know, what as far as mechanism of him alleviating his pain. But, you know, now there's game speed tired, but what he's done to get to that point should be worse than how he's going to feel after a game.
Interesting. All right, let's get to the calls here, 201-939-4513. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite daily, one-week fantasy football site where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry right now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. And Pierre from Dallas comes out of the woodwork. Pierre, just be classy here. Don't make me hang up on you early, my friend.
Long time no speak, John.
What's up, Pierre? How are you?
All right, guys. Hey, man, I've been keeping up with you guys. I just, superstition, I've just been keeping my mouth shut. I've been keeping up with the ebbs and flow of, you know,
very
fire
wise.
Eli, fire Tom Coughlin at the end of the season, and then going through the Paul D saying that, you know, offensive line is what you needed, and then y'all drafted Odell Beckham. By the way, I played against his dad in Marshall, Texas.
There you go.
But, man, I'm telling you, that kid, boy, that is phenomenal talent, that kid, man. We as Cowboy Nation, man, that y'all got a star. Michael Irvin, everybody here, that's much mad love to that kid, man. It's phenomenal, man. But I just wanted to say this, man. Every time the Cowboys and the Giants play, it's going to be a fight.
Throw the records out.
Y'all's record don't reflect y'all's talent. The fight, and you guys,